Today's daf in Masechet Kedushin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Samach Hei, and we're in the middle of the sugya. We're still on daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis, about whether a person is able to actually be careful about the passwords that he makes, or whether he can actually be careless and get himself into serious trouble. So this is a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that a person is not going to put himself into a position which is called lo mochis inish nafshe lesveika, is the technical terminology. And Rabbi Meir holds mochis inish nafshe lesveika. We found contradictions, or what appeared to be contradictions, and we said that there was a problem in the girsa of the Mishnah, but that actually consistently Rabbi Meir holds that mochis inish nafshe lesveika. We got up to Omer Abaye, three lines up from the bottom. So remember that our Mishnah talks about a case where a person was married twice. He has two groups of daughters, Ktanot uGdolot, and the question was that according to Rabbi Meir, that Mochisinish Nafshi Lesfeika, if he says that I was Mekabel Kedushin for my older daughter, the older daughter would assert everyone, because any one of them is considered to be older. Any one of the members of the older set is older than even the oldest of the younger set. And therefore, the only one that you can be sure about that is definitely not included in the suffix would be the youngest of the youngest group. Mashenkin Aliba, the Rabbi Yossi, who holds people don't make idiotic passwords or simonim for themselves. If the person would have said the word Gedola, then he never would have meant anything but what would be absolutely clear at that point. And clear is only the oldest of the oldest group, and therefore we don't have any kind of sveikas. The Mishnah also listed the opposite case of the Ketana, and we explained yesterday that indeed there is a chiddush in both directions, because their father would like to say, I'm giving you a mature child as a wife, and therefore we maybe are more open to the possibility that when he says the older, he means any of the oldest, and therefore we need to know both cases that they argue on each other, and we go all the way in the chashash mochisinish nafshi lesveika, whether it's advantageous or not, and lo mochisinish nafshi lesveika, whether it's advantageous or not. That is the sita of the sugya so far. So let's continue today. Omer Abaye says, Abaye, listen, when the Mishnah spoke about a case where you've got two groups of daughters from two wives, and that's why we have this suffix, you need to understand that it means exactly that. That's why we have the suffix, because we're ready to call a set of older daughters. But that's the only reason. The machloket over here is dafka because we have two separate sets, you see. So we've got shtei kitei banot. But let's imagine that a guy has a regular, he was married once, he's got a group of daughters, and then he also uses this language. Do we there think that all of the daughters are included in the suffix? No. Because any of the girls in between, he would never refer to them, my older daughter, just because there is a younger daughter. My older daughter, he can refer to any member of the set of older daughters. Yes, but he's not going to call, let's say he's got three daughters, an older, a middle, and a younger. What, he's going to call the middle one my older daughter because she has a younger sister? Absolutely not. Nobody does that. So you would refer to her by her name. You'd say my middle daughter, or you would say Jennifer. I don't know what you'd say, but you certainly wouldn't say my older daughter. Therefore, the entire Mishnah is structured around that point, says Abaye, that we're talking about two groups. But if there was only one group, Divriyako Gedola Mamash, Ktadam Mamash, and the Emtsait is not included in any suffix in either direction, he would have defined her by her name, Bishma Karila, and so on. I don't understand how you could say that. If you believe that, so then what you're telling me is essentially, Elamiyata, the Emtsait Shepekachnia Tishterin. Then what you're saying is that for all intents and purposes, the one that's in the second group, right, she should not be included. The middle daughter is not included, because in terms of that group, you claim that a man is never going to call a daughter who's older than another daughter, the older daughter. It's only if she's a member of a group of older daughters. So then that should mean that the middle daughter in the younger group basically is only going to be called older because she has a younger sister. And according to you, that is not enough of a reason to include her in herself of being called the older daughter, correct? And the problem is that the only daughter that Rebbe Meir said is not included in this problem is the youngest of the youngest group, which implies that the middle daughters in that group would all be usher. According to you, why are they usher? I thought you said, we never say my relatively older daughter. Says the Gemara, you know what? You're 100% right. We're talking about a case in which the second group has only an older daughter, and a younger daughter doesn't have a middle daughter, but ain't a chinami. If there had been an emtsa'it, then the halacha is that Rabbi Meir would have said she's not included. And he would never have said the words, the youngest of the youngest. He would have said the younger of the youngest. All of the younger ones of the younger group are mutter. That's what he would have said. And I'll prove it to you. V'chinami mistava. Listen. If, in fact, we're talking about a case that there was a middle daughter, right? He means the Ika. So then why didn't the Mishnah say Beferish in that case where it comes to say who's included, right? So there is an Emtsa'it. Then why doesn't it say when the man is explaining what he's not sure about? Why doesn't it say over there, I'm not sure whether I meant the oldest of the oldest group or the oldest of the younger group or the middle of the youngest group. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say maybe the middle of the youngest group is also called the older because she's older than the youngest and then the youngest group. It doesn't say that. Why doesn't it say it? Because it isn't true. Because indeed, that would not be included in the suffix. The only ones that are included in the suffix is the set of the older daughters. As a by, that's the whole point. So therefore, I'll prove it to you by the very fact that the Mishnah conspicuously leaves it out. Because in Ita the Ika, if there were a daughter that was in the middle, there was more than an older and a younger daughter in that younger group, then it would have spelled out the fact that the father would have said, I'm not sure if it includes the middle daughter, and it doesn't. So apparently it doesn't exist, right? Oh, really now? Well, the time, I mean, if you believe that the Mishnah is going to list everyone that's in the suffix, so then it doesn't list either the middle girl in the first group. And there you said that for sure is included in the suffix. So I can ask you, I mean, according to you, that the Mishnah lists when the father says, and I don't know if I meant A, B, C, D, E, it should have listed, and I'm not sure, maybe it was the middle daughter of the older group because she's, I mean, how come it doesn't say that, huh? That is definitely fake, even according to you. And it's definitely also, Mika Tanila doesn't say anything about that. Says, well, obviously it doesn't say anything about that. That's a stupid question, is that? Of course it doesn't say anything about that. Because over there, it already mentioned that the youngest daughter in the older group could be called the older daughter. So is there any problem? I mean, really, even if it's for dummies, though, I need to spell out that if the younger daughter is the older daughter, so the middle daughter that is older than the younger daughter is obviously an older daughter. I mean, why in the world would I spell that out? But in this case, I do have to spell it out because I would need to understand the whole point that I, Abaye, am making. I would need to understand, don't believe Abaye. No, any girl who's relatively older than any other girl is included in the older girl. That would have needed spelling out now, wouldn't it? And it doesn't. Why not? Because I'm right. That's why not. Because the middle daughter would not be included. Everybody got that? Obvious, right? Excellent. Okay. So therefore, Achi Asher, what kind of question is that? So obviously, if the youngest daughter is a surah, so the older the one that is older than her is not going to be a surah. So who adin lahakta kashishamina? But over here, if it's true what you're saying, that the middle daughter is relatively older, so why doesn't it mention it when it says what the father is unsure about? So it should have said it. Okay. I've got a problem, however, says Rav Huna Bar Rav Yeshua to Rava. Because how do you explain the fact? Remember that we've got this whole, which is what we spoke about yesterday, we've got Ad Pnei Pesach, right? So the Ad Pnei Pesach, what does that mean? So if we, even the way we fixed it all up, right? So if you hold Mochi Sinish Nafshel Sveika, so then every day is Ad Pnei Pesach for the next day. So this is relatively, now get that, relatively speaking, this is Pnei Pesach. And Rabbi Meir says, yes, yes, relatively speaking. So I don't understand. That is the equivalent of one group of girls, and we're saying, relatively speaking, this is the older girl, and you're saying, no, we never argue about relatively. We only argue about sets. Well, where's the sets when it comes to Pesach? I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, aren't they arguing over there about the case Pesach, which is the equivalent of one set of daughters? And we have the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi about whether Pnei Pesach is relative to the other days of Pesach. So the third day of Pesach is the Pnei Pesach relative to the fourth day of Pesach, right? So you see that you're wrong. No. This is Rabbanan. Come on. I mean, Abaye doesn't have to answer this. I'll answer this for you. It's a complete misunderstanding. The machlokes over there between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir is not about whether relative is meant. The difference over there is a completely different issue, which is, what does the word pnei mean? Because the pnei can mean mufnei, meaning that it's already passed by. That's the issue, not because there's a relative pnei. So Mar Savar, so the point over here is that the meaning of pnei is until. That's all. So it means facing Pesach. Okay, so because of that, according to Abaye, it makes perfectly good sense. There's only one kat of days, only one set of days, and only the first day is called the beginning. We don't say there's such a question of relative according to anybody. Whereas Mar Savar Ademufne Pesach, it means when Pesach is over. That's what the word means. Not because of its relative value. Simamela, not nugea, the issue of Abaye, ki hu ze, which brings us directly up to Osirichern. Getting on now to some more fundamental issues. Till now, we've been talking about belief. So somebody says he's Makadosh's daughter. Which ones are included in the Nemanis of the Av? Et Bitina Tati Lisha Zeh, the whole mocker of the difference between the Nemanis of an Eid Echad and the Nemanis of a father. But remember that there's a very different issue of Nemanis, which is called Hoda'at Baldin. If a person is made into something, then his testimony vis-a-vis himself would seem to be something that is absolute. Now, the truth is, not necessarily, as we're going to see. Even if we believe a person who says something that has impact on himself, there's a separate issue which is called Shavya Anafshe Chaticha Di Isura, which I think Avi already wrote down. Shavya Anafshe Chaticha Di Isura means whether we believe you or not, it's a totally irrelevant question. The point is that in claiming what you claimed, you have created a situation, which perhaps works even with the din of a neder. You are defining reality for yourself. Now, you can do that, as we know, because we have the whole parsha of Nidorim, in which if a person says that to me this thing is usur, so then it's usur. Okay, so if you claim that something is usur, it really is not necessarily important for us to know whether it's true or not, because for you it's true, and for you it's true is sufficient to usur a person al pi, the concept of neder, correct? Now, there's only one case where this would not be true, and where even if we believe you in terms of yourself, it's completely irrelevant. Now, where would that be? And this leads to a very profound issue. We know that the mocker, and we had this back in Gittin, the mocker of the actual power of a get is linked to ervat davar. And ervat davar is learned from the posik of l'kol davar that appears by Momenes, which is lo yakum ish echad, every eid echad, has to be only where there is a dovar al pi edim. Now, if that's the case, that means that if there were no edim to a get, the fact that a man says, I wrote this get, and the woman says, and I was makabel this get, there's no edim, neither signed on it, which of course is Rebbe Meir's approach, that's the signature, that's the get, nor witnesses that it was given to her, which of course is Rebbe Meir's approach, and that is that the Eide Mesira Akarte, is that a get? No. Doesn't matter what they say, and it doesn't matter what the video camera says. It's not a get, because they're the Eidim are what make it a get. Now the question is, when it comes to Kedushin, the interrelationship of Kedushin and Gittin, which has been so fundamental to the structure of these two Mesechtas, the V'yatz'ah V'hayta Le'ish Acher, the fact that the Torah compares constantly Gittin to Kedushin. And by Kedushin, of course, we're talking about Ervat Davar. So now the issue is, man and woman agree. We are married. He gave me a ring and he said, Areyat Mekudeshet Li, and I accepted it with all my heart. Do you have any witnesses? No. So then you're not married. Maybe. Why not? Don't you believe us? Sure, we believe you. But you might as well have told me that he took you for a ride in a hot air balloon and told you this hot air balloon makes you my wife. I mean, I didn't care what, you know, you happen to think it makes you a wife. And that's all that you're telling me. I gave her a ring and I said, Ariad Mekadeshly, that doesn't make you a wife. We believe you. But the Eidus is not a belief issue. The Eidus is an actual Alpi Shnei Eidim Yakum Davar. Okay. And Matzapa Ervat Davar. So that means anything that has to do with Erva is a Davar. Therefore, maybe it needs two Eidim by definition. And what do you mean, maybe it needs two Eidim by definition? Then obviously it needs two Eidim by definition. Ah. Not necessarily. Why not? Well, what happens if one aide shows up in court for a guy who is claiming that someone owes him money? Do we just boot him out of court and say, one witness means nothing to us? No. What we have to do is administer a shvua. Now we're not going to take the money away from someone on the basis of the testimony of one aide, but we are going to force the defendant to swear that the money isn't owed. So then that means that there is some element of belief in terms of a single aid, enough to be mechayev shvua. What is the impact of that concept translated from the idea of momenus, and it means al pi shnei edim yakum davar, but here it is an aid echad that sort of has something to say about a davar. So what is the impact of that on a called devar erva? Does it create some suffic kedushin, some element of kedushin? What is the meaning of a single witness in terms of kedushin? Even though we believe the man or the woman, is that enough? That is all about to be discussed over here. So we have the complex issues of the nemanus of an eid echad bi isurim, number one. That generally speaking, from the very fact that the Torah allows us to eat each other's food, that the Torah allows a husband to believe his wife about whether she's tahora or not, and everything else, and kol haTorah kulo, all of our hanagas, are based on the fact that if somebody tells me something, and he is an aide that is a reliable person, then I have a right to trust him in terms of Isra. So that's a general question. Somebody says, I am married. Okay, so then what's the impact of Eid Echad Neman B'Yisurim? Question one. Question two, is an aid necessary for belief, or is an aid necessary for the actual creation of the state? Number three, when we need two Eidim, is the fact that there's one aid and that has meaning in terms of Mammon, does it have any meaning in terms of the creation of the state when it comes to Isra? So that, together with the question of Shavya Anav Shechaticha Di Isura, means that there are four very important interrelated issues over here that the Mishnah is addressing. And because of that, again, in a deceptively simple Mishnah, we end up touching upon very primal issue. So let's start with this Mishnah. Ha'omer li'isha kidashtich. A guy says to a woman, I gave you kedushin. She says, I ain't ever seen you, buddy. Lo kidashtani. So what's the din over there? Well, he's not allowed to marry any of her relatives. He couldn't marry her sister because he claims that the sister is the sister of his wife. Well, that's called Shavya Nafshech HaTichat Yisura. But he muteret bekrovav, she's allowed to marry his relatives because we don't believe him. If there's no witnesses, we don't believe him that she's married. So she can just proceed blithely along and not even think about it. How about the other way around? If she goes over to a guy and she said, you know, you gave me Kedushin. He said, never saw you before. Lo kedashtich. So the same thing is true. He would be allowed to marry her relatives, but she is asura to marry his relatives because she claims, I mean, she's really asura to marry anybody. I mean, it doesn't mean only because he says, I'm not your husband, and she says, I'm married to you. So who's she allowed to marry? No one. But even if he would be kind enough to give her a get, because she says, look, if you want to deny him your wife, but at least give me a get so I can go and get married to someone, even then, she will forever be asura to his relatives because she claimed that this guy that she wants to marry now, his brother, is an erva on her. So even though we don't believe her, not as far as the brother is concerned for himself, but we believe her for herself, and she says, this guy is my husband's brother. So therefore, she is asura even after a get in his relatives, not to mention she's asura on anyone till she gets that get. However, it has no impact on him, and he's allowed to marry any of her relatives. Now, suppose he says, kidashtich, and she says, oh man, that wasn't me. That was my daughter. We look very much the same. But you married my daughter. Loki dashta elabiti. What's the deal over there? Well, as far as he is concerned, he obviously believes, or at least claims, and therefore shavinav shechatich disura, that he is married and therefore to the mother, and therefore he's usher on anyone that is a relative of the mother. But the mother, the gedola, the mother, is allowed to marry any of his relatives, just like it was in the first cases. And he is allowed to marry any of the daughter's relatives that are not relatives of the mother's. The one generation makes a difference. And the younger daughter is allowed to marry his relatives because he's only an eid echad and has no ne'emanus. Now, the Gemara is going to ask, isn't this the same? Is there a new principle that's being taught over here? We'll talk about that in the Gemara. It seems like we've got the same issue mentioned again. The same thing is true in the inverse. If he says, I married your daughter, and she says, the mother says, no, no, you married me. So what happens then? Well, he is usher in any relatives of the daughter because Shavinav Shechaticha de Yisura. The Katana is Muteret Bekrovav because the daughter said, I don't know what you're talking about. And he doesn't have any nemanis vis-a-vis the daughter. And he is allowed to marry the mother's relatives because he doesn't admit that he was ever married to the mother. But the mother who claims that she accepted Kedushin from him is a Asura Bikrovav. Now, again, this sounds very repetitious. And the Gemara is going to have to go through, why do we go to four cases, none of which say more than any one of the others? So first of all, let's talk about that issue. Ha'omer, Isha, Kidashtich. Why do we need four different cases, all that tell me exactly the same thing? A person can create Shavinav Shachatich Disura, and a person cannot in any way answer someone else with a Dvar Erva by claiming to be married that has no impact on anybody but himself. Well, that's clear from all of the cases. No, says the Gemara, it isn't, actually. Because let's talk about the first case, okay? The guy says, I am married to you. Don't pay any attention to what he says. It only is meaningful for him. Ah, but that's because, why should we believe a guy? I mean, does it bother him to claim to a woman that he's married to her? What does it cost him? That he can't marry her mother? Believe me, he ain't interested in no grandmas. And what does it bother him? Can't marry her sister. He can't stand the whole family anyway. What big deal? So he's likely to say anything, okay? I'm married to you. Yeah, right, okay. doesn't is no sweat off your back. So why should we believe you? So Mikri Kamar, well, you know, he gets this joke in his head. I'm married to you. That's the meaning of Mikre Omar. Yeah, why not? Okay. But in the second case, the woman, by saying that I am married to you, is creating a self-made catastrophe. Because the moment that she says that, she's not allowed to marry anyone in the world except him. And he says, I don't know what you're talking about. You're not my wife. So I would have said, well, Ilav Dekim Labadibur, if she wasn't 100% sure, she would never have said something like this. And therefore, that is an indication that we should believe her. And in this case, since there's such strong indications that she's saying the truth, Litaser Yubikrovotel, so he should also become usher because we believe her. Kamash Malan, even if it's her, there's no neamonis of an aid just because people, well, I mean, this is, of course, the American concept. Well, why would he say so if it weren't true? That's neamonis, right? Incredible. Okay, so that's enough neamonis. I mean, somebody says something out of the blue. It comes along the Mishnah to say that that type of goyish esfora is very foreign to the Torah's way of thinking. Okay, I understand. That's a chiddush. Now, why do I need a third case? In that case, the guy says, I gave you a kedushin, and she says, no, you gave the kedushin to my daughter. Okay, so I understand. There's something new over here that says the same thing. Somebody says something, he can't affect anybody but himself, right? No. Because, remember, does not the Torah give one case where a person is believed 100% about another person? Yes, we just had it. Et biti natati le'ish hazeh, right? So the father is believed to create isurim for everybody just because he says, I gave my daughter away. Now, let me ask you something. Let us say that a father died and all we have is a katana. And that poor katana is now, doesn't have anybody to protect her, is open to predation. What happens then? We have a takona. Namely, the Rabbanan said, well, her mother can accept kedushin for her. Ah, really now? So maybe if her mother can accept kedushin for her, then that means that we believe midrabanan what the mother says about the kedushin, the same way that we believe d'oraisa, the father, because he was given the right for kedushin, right? So this is a whole brand new question. So sa'kadaita chamina, in this third case, I would have said, look, since the Torah believed the father, midrabanan hem nirachman la'av. So therefore, when the Rabbanan extended the concept of Kedushin of the Ketana to include the mother's acceptance of the Kedushin, maybe they also extended her belief. And therefore, they would have said that she is believed and mid Rabbanan, tita sarbar ata b'dibura. If mommy says that the daughter is Mekudesha, so then maybe she is. Therefore, we need this third case to tell me there's no way, even mid Rabbanan, that anybody except the father that was given this chiddush, but he rises and says, "Biti natati li shazeh." There's no way that anyone can impact somebody else by claiming something like this. Okay, but the fourth case, I mean, the fourth case is obvious, right? I mean, the guy says, I gave kedushin to your daughter, and she says, no, it was me. I mean, there's no chiddush here at all. I know the other cases. I mean, there's nothing new over here. The mother is not creating new Yisurim. Only Shavya Nafshe Chaticha D'Yisurah. What's going on? You're right. There is no Chiddush. And the only reason that we have that case, so therefore we are, want, remember, sometimes we have a concept of parallelism in a Mishnah so that people can keep it clear in their minds. Three cases where two are parallel, one isn't, is difficult to remember. Four cases where each one is a mirror image of the other is easy to remember. And therefore, because of that, since the Tana said the third case, which involved the interaction between was it the mother or the daughter, it also talks about the fourth case, which is also mother and daughter, except it starts with daughter and mother claims mother. Okay, so therefore we have the fourth case, no new halach. Now, the question is, what happens to this poor woman? So Itmar, she claims that she's married to the guy and the guy denies it. So now she is in a state in which she cannot marry anybody. Now, Rav Amar, Kofin, we force the guy to give her a get. And Shmuel Amar, Mevakshim, we ask him nicely to give her a get. Wait a minute. What do you mean we force him? What case are we talking about that they're arguing about? The opening case where the guy claims that I am married? She doesn't need a get. I don't understand. She says I'm not married. If the guy wants to divorce her, for what reason? Whatever implications it has for him, so fine. It's up to him. Lav kofinika v'lo mevakshinika. Why in the world he can't show us that he's married? She can marry whoever she wants. Why should we ask him, be a nice guy and give her a get? Get out of here. She doesn't want no get. And then people say she was married. Absolutely not. So why would we even ask him? That can't be the case. All right. So it's the next case, where actually she created the disaster. She believes that she's married to the guy. The guy says, I don't know who she is, never saw her before, she's a nut, whatever. So over there we say, okay, look, have mercy on this poor woman. She thinks that she's married to you. She can't get married. She can't do anything in her life. Go ahead and give her a get. Be a nice guy. And according to Rav, we're actually going to force him to give a get? I mean, I understand what Shmuel says. Be a nice guy and give her a get. That makes some sense. So, Bishlam Evakshim. Okay, l'chai, very nice. But we're going to force a get? The guy can say, excuse me, I'm not interested in giving her a get. The moment I give her a get, I create Isurin on myself, right? Now, I happen to love this woman's sister. If I give her a get, I'm not going to be able to marry this woman's sister. That's probably why the nut is claiming that I'm married to her. But I'm not going to give her a get. Because if I do, then she becomes, I mean, at least because of the appearances, and that creates the issur, I have to treat her as achot grushati. I absolutely refuse to give her a get. So why would we force him? He is perfectly within his rights to say, let the nut suffer. Says the Gemara, you know what? We totally misunderstood Rav and Shmuel. This wasn't a machlokas about whether we force a guy to give a get or not. These were two statements that were both referring to the same case. They're complementary statements. They're not actually antagonistic statements. The Shemaita Ta'ahadadi Itma, Rav and Shmuel were both discussing the case. So Shmuel came along and said, you know, if we have a situation like this, Beis Din should use its good offices to try to persuade the guy to let this woman free by sending her a get. Okay. That's all that Shmuel said. Now, Rav did not disagree with him. Rav said, yes, you're 100% right. But let me tell you something. If he went out on his own and he gave her a get, what guy would do that on his own? Does that not imply to you that he actually felt guilty and that he had created the situation and now he doesn't want her? So he said, all right, I'll be a nice guy. I'm going to give you a get. That's very suspicious. Therefore, I say, in the event that he came on his own without our being Mavakish, im natan get me atzmo, then kofin. Kofin what? He's giving the, kofin to pay her ksuba. Because now we see you're ready to give a get on your own. Obviously, there's something fishy going on. Therefore, we demand that you pay her a ksuba. And we actually see that. Because Rav Acha bar Ada quoted Rav. Some say Rav Acha bar Ada quoted Rav Amnuno, quoted Rav, that we are kofim umevakshim. What do you mean? If we're kofim, we're not mevakshim. How can we do kofim and mevakshim? That's contradictory. No, it means mevakshim. And this is Rav. In other words, Rav is quoting Shmuel, so to speak, saying, this is my opinion. Mevakshim, we ask him nicely, but im natan get me'atzmo, then kofino toleitein ketubah. Now, all of this is the question of belief of the person himself. Now the issue is, what if this person is backed up by a single witness? Or for that matter, maybe it's just a single witness, Omer of Yudah. Somebody goes ahead and he makes Kiddushin with one aid, no problem. She could just go right out and marry somebody else. Wow. Well, al pi shnei edim yakum davar, and ein davar sheberva pachot mishnayim, because matzah by ervat davar. I think, Avi, you've already written that down, in davar sheberva pachot mishnayim, but in case not, make sure. So now, if that's the case, if he doesn't have shnayim, who cares? The Kedushin is not Kedushin, ipso facto, not because necessarily we don't believe him. Well, let me ask you something. What if we do believe him because the woman also says so? So, boy, are you saying that there's something fundamental about the nature of Kedushin that requires two Eidim? Or are you saying we will not accept the testimony of an Eid Echad because the Torah says we only believe Eidim when there are two of them? I mean, if both the man and the woman say, no, this guy is 100% true, yes, we love each other, we're married, and we're married in front of a single witness, are you saying that even there she could just go out and marry somebody else because a single witness has no implications for Kedushin? So my, what's the din? Whoa. That not Rav Yehuda, oh man. Truth is, he didn't know. So sometimes he would say, even if they both agree, then he would say, well, I don't know. Now, if they both agree, then it is Kedushin. And then he would say, well, maybe it's not Kedushin. So that's called in v'lav, v'rafya beyond that. So he would sometimes say yes and sometimes say no. And bottom line was, I don't really know. So that means that Rav Yehuda himself, who was the author of the din, that we're not chayish l'kedushin al pi eid echad, was not sure whether that's because we don't believe in eid echad or because an eid echad has no validity in terms of the chalos, in terms of the actual creation of the state of kedushin. That is a major issue. And as I explained before, what would be the basis of a single witness being capable of having any part in the chalos of a kedushin? The fact that the Torah says that an Eid Echad, even in the case of the Davar of Mammon, is sufficient to create the need for a Shvuah in Beis Din, maybe that is sufficient to create an Isser in Kedushin. Rav Yehuda wasn't sure. Now, Itmar, in terms of the Psak Halacha, Omre Nachman Omer Shmuel, HaMekadish Be'Eid Echad, Ein Chashashin LeKedushin, Afilu Shnehem Modim. Okay, so over here we have Shmuel saying, he doesn't have any doubts about this issue. There is no Kedushin. And it means that the fact that we have an eight Benogeya elements of Momonist vis-a-vis Shvuah has no implications for Kedushin. Asks Rava, well, let's take a look at our Mishnah that we just had over here in Kedushin. Eisei Rava Lord Nachman. It says in this Mishnah, Ha'omer le'isha kidashti, v'hi omeret kidashtani. So he is usher, but she is mutter. So exactly what happened over here. Are there witnesses? Or there's no witnesses? I mean, so what's the case? I mean, if there are witnesses, so then what do we care? She can deny it all she wants. Why does it say she's allowed to marry his relatives? There's witnesses. So therefore, it must be talking about that there are no witnesses. But if there's no witnesses, I thought everybody agrees that no witnesses, for sure there's no Kedushin. So then even the guy himself who claims that he gave her Kedushin, and we believe him 100%, it's just he also admits that there were no witnesses, and therefore there's no Kedushin, even though he gave her Kedushin. So that wouldn't make any sense either. So the only way to understand the Mishnah is that we're talking about an Eid Echad, El Olav Be'Eid Echad. And you see that the Mishnah holds that that is considered to be a Kedushin from his point of view, if we believe him. So that means it's not a fundamental pagam in the actual chalos of the Kedushin, right? No, says Rav Nachman, what's the matter with you? Of course not right. The guy claims that he gave Kedushin with two witnesses, obviously. Why do you have to make that part of the analysis? The two witnesses are not here. They moved to Alaska, okay? But he is claiming I was Makadosh you in front of two witnesses. Why are you interweaving a completely different issue into our Mishnah? How come my askinat could go into Amarla, Kidashtich, you want to know who was there? Here are the Eidim, if they Ploni Veploni Eidim, and then they moved to Alaska. Okay, well, what about this Mishnah that we had in Gittin, you know? Somebody goes, divorces his wife, and then sometimes later, they go to a hotel room together for the weekend. So Beit Shammai says, well, doesn't matter Why would she need a get? Eina tzricha men a get sheni. And the Beit Hillel says, no, if they were alone, so then obviously they were sleeping together, and they must have been sleeping together for purposes of recreating their relationship, because we assume that Ein Adam, this is another one of Gavi's points, Ein Adam ose bi'ilato bi'ilat znus. If a person is able to have a licit relationship, he doesn't enjoy an illicit relationship. So now let me ask you something. Do we have witnesses that actually saw that he was sleeping with her? So how could Beit Shammai say that she doesn't need a get? I mean, don't we assume that if they were sleeping together, it would be for purposes of reestablishing their marriage? And Idaleka Aiden, if there are no witnesses, then according to you, why does Beis Hillel say that she needs a get? Without witnesses, you don't need a get for Kedushin, even if we believe that you intended Kedushin. So go sleep together all you want. If there's no witnesses, there's no Kedushin. Ah, must be. There's only one witness, and that is, according to Beis Hillel, proves that it is a Kedushin, even though there's only one witness. As Beit Shammai says, no, if there's only one witness, there's no Kedushin. Says the Gemara, that's the way you understand that Mishnah. So then, how do you explain the second part of the Mishnah? Excuse me. The Mishnah continues on to say, but Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree that if she was divorced before they ever consummated their marriage, so she was divorced only after Erusin, over there, for sure, she does not need a second get, because he doesn't feel comfortable with her to sleep with her. I understand what you mean. He did sleep with her, I thought you said. There were witnesses, or one witness. I said, what do you mean he doesn't feel comfortable? And if you're going to tell me we believe a single witness, what do we care whether he's comfortable or not? We know what happened. Mali min Erusin, Mali min Anisuin. If Beis Hillel holds an eight echad is enough to create an Isser, so then what's the difference? So obviously, that's not the point. Then there would be no difference between the Mishnah's opening case where they were fully married or the second case where they had never slept together before. We're talking about over here. There are two witnesses. But witnesses to what? Witnesses to the fact that they took a hotel room together. I don't know more than that. We don't have witnesses that can say, I actually saw them sleeping together. So therefore, the question boils down to, Alibida Beit Shammai, who cares if people saw them going to a hotel room? Why, you have a dirty mind. Amrina and Hain, Eide Yichud, Hain, Eide Bia, absolutely not. But every time people are together in a hotel room, so they have to be sleeping together. Nonsense. That's not the equivalent. And therefore, we have no witnesses. Well, what if they slept together? Well, what if they did? There's no witnesses. Kiddushin without witnesses is not Kiddushin. But we have witnesses. They saw them go into the room together. Dirty, dirty. And therefore, we have no witnesses. That's Beit Shammai's Sfora. Whereas Beis Hillel says, no. The fact that people, under these circumstances, that they were once intimate, and they'd been married for years, in that case, obviously, ein eide yichud, ein eide bia. It's the equivalent of watching them actually sleeping together. So therefore, we assume that we have A, testimony for the actual bia, and B, we have therefore, since we've agreed that ein adam ose bi'ilato bi'ilat znus, we have testimony to Kedushin, even if they didn't hear the guy say, Areat mekudeshet li b'biyazu. It's obvious that that's what this whole meeting is about in this hotel. That's the point. But, continues the Mishnah over there, that in the event that he's not feeling comfortable with her, and they were never intimate, so modim vadai b'nidgar shamane eris, and there Beit Hillel says, well, I mean, why would I think just because they're alone together, they're sleeping together, the guy never did that? So lo amrinan in that case ein eide yichud vein eide bia mipnesha ein libo gaspa. Okay, so therefore forget about it. That issue has nothing to do with the psak of Shmuel that if you only have an eid echad, there is zero kedushin issues. You should know, it says the Gemara of Rav Yitzchok bar Shmuel bar Marta Mishmei de Rav. He agrees. Amakadish be eid echad ein choshishin lekedushin afilu shnei emodim. Even if both man and woman agree. Where's the witness that makes the Kedushin? There's no witness. There's only one. There's no Edim. Therefore, there's no Kiddushin. We believe you 100%. Yes, you made a wonderful Kiddushin. Yes, you had an Eidecha. Thank you very much. Go marry somebody else. Okay, because that's not Kiddushin. Omar Rabba Baravuna, we have another psak. Mekadosh be'Eidechad. In a case where this is the situation, you should know the Beis Din HaGadol, Beis Din HaRabba. What is that supposed to mean? We'll see. Beis Din HaRabba Amri, Ein Cheshin LeKedushin, the big Beis Din. What's the big Beis Din? Man Beis Din HaRabba. So to Rabba Baravuna, the greatest Beis Din would be Rav and Rav's yeshiva. Some say that what Rabba Baravuna said is that Rav said this statement. He was Omar Rav. HaMekadosh be'Eid Echad, Beis Din HaRabba Amri Ein Cheshin LeKedushin. Who would be the great Beis Din in Rav's opinion? Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So man Beis Din HaRabba, Rebbe. Anyway, so we now have quite a few Piskei Halachas that we don't worry about Kedushin that are done in front of an Eid Echad, even if we agree that that happened. But what about the Braita? It says over here, this is an amazing case. Really, lots of fun, this case. Oh, man. Okay, so we have these two guys that arrive at the airport, okay? They have a suitcase, and there's a woman with them. And now they go over to passport control, you know. And now what happens is Mr. A says, well, I'm here with my family. Here is my wife. And here is my servant. He's looking at the other guy. And here is my suitcase. And let me through. The other guy says, what? This is my servant. This is my wife. And this is my suitcase. Don't believe a word he says. And the woman says, what? These two guys are my servants. This is my suitcase. And my husband's on his way. Oh, my gosh. What do we do in a situation like that? That's an amazing case, right? So, Shnayim Shabo Minataya. And there's a woman with them. And there's a suitcase with them. V'chavilayma. So, man, Mr. One says, here's my wife, Zavdi, and here's my suitcase. The other guy says, this is my wife. This guy is my servant, Chutzpanyak, and this is my suitcase. And the woman says, these two bums are my servants that I bought free and clear, and this is my suitcase. So what happens? Well, in this case, now, this makes no sense at all, and we're going to have to explain it, obviously. In this case, she needs two gittin, which we think means she needs two gittin in order to be able to marry anybody. Why is that true? I mean, we don't believe anybody who says, I married you. Obviously, the Gemara will discuss this. This whole thing needs to be fully understood. And she needs two gittin. And then she goes ahead and she collects her ksuva from the suitcase. So at least that amount of a basic ksuva is collected out of the suitcase. Because remember, you don't need the actual document of a ksuva because it's a Tanai Beis Din to collect. And as Tosis points out, we see from this Gemara that we assume that even though she would only be an Arusa, she would still get a ksuva, which was a question that we raised in ksuvas. We never had a proof. Tosis, well, we're not going to bring this as a proof. A proof is not from Amoroyim. A proof is from a Mishnah or a Braitza. Okay. Anyway, so here's my point, says Rav Achtavoy. That's why I think that this is very, very relevant to the question that we've raised over here about a Eid Echad. Because what do you think the case is? I mean, if we've got witnesses to Mr. A, that this is his wife, and we also have witnesses to Mr. B. Now, that would explain why we would need a get from both men, right? So, but it would not explain, if we have two witnesses, how the woman can say that these are both my avodim and this is my suitcase. There are witnesses over here on both sides that are against that claim. So why in the world would she be able to claim that she can keep the suitcase? So that can't be the case. Okay. Therefore, Sir Vavaktavoy, we've got to be talking about that each one of these guys has one witness, right? So if she needs a get from both guys, so then it must be that even though there's only one witness, she would need a get. and that Kedushin is Chal, and all of these Piskei Halachas that you just quoted would be wrong. Says the Gemara, what's the matter with you? That wouldn't help. If you've got one witness and they contradict each other, do you have one witness, silly? So let's say you'd have, let's imagine the equivalent case in the Dine Momenes, right? Because after all, that's the whole point, is that we learn out Davar Davar, we learn out from Dvar Erva to Yakum Davar from Momenes. Okay, so you said, well, in the case where there's an Eid Echad, since that would create a need for Shvua and Korah, it should also create a Din Lagabi Kedushin. Excuse me? And if you have a witness, where there's another witness who says the opposite, you would administer a Shvua in court? Of course not. So if you've got an Eid Echad B'Hakchasha, how's that going to help? No one in his right mind would say that that is considered to be Kedushin, even if normally an Eid Echad is considered to be Kedushin, for heaven's sake. So that can't be the case. It's not going to help you one bit. There's definitely no Kedushin going to anybody. It's as if you have no Eidim whatsoever if it's B'Hakchasha, because there's no Moker to Dover Dover Midvei Mammon, right? Okay, so we can handle that. What we can't handle is the fact we saw Akiva's roof, or at least his sunroof, closed. We didn't see Naftali's sunroof at all. And we didn't even see Ari's car. So how are we going to explain this? Liosid Lavai. Huh? Oh, man. Nothing. No responses at all. All right, at least we got a smile. So, are you into the last week's Parsha or the coming's Parsha? Last week's Parsha has Hashem Erachi Anochi. This week's Parsha has the din of all humans being responsible to others because May Nayach Zesli. Which Parsha are you in? We can see by what happens to Ari. All right. Sorry for torturing you. All right, then. So therefore, you don't understand this brisa. Totally misunderstand this brisa. It's talking about like this. L'mishrei li'alma? What, you think it said we need a get in order to be mater her? We don't need a get. Of course we don't need a get. Everybody is meida kuli'alma l'plik d'shoy. Of course she's muteret. Why would she not be muteret? We thought when it said she needs two getim, it means she can't marry. That's absurd. She obviously can't. So what is the Braita talking about? It means she needs two gittin in order for her to be able to press her claim of collecting her ksuva from the suitcase, is what it means. So if these two guys went ahead and gave her a get, so then we would have, in fact, forced them to give her a ksuva. So now between the two of them, we're all agreed. The woman says, it's all my suitcase. And Mr. A and Mr. B, who both gave her a get, say, it's all my suitcase. But they're all agreed that the amount of the ksuva within the suitcase is definitely owed to her. That's all that it's saying. In the event that they did give her a get a piece, then she would be able to press her claim against the suitcase. So, hachi ka'oma, kidei ligbot k'tuvata min ha'chevila, tzricha shnei gitim. That makes a lot of sense. And it would, of course, also need to be going according to Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir says that you even can collect a ksuva from a tautelin. Of course, Bizman HaZeh, for sure, we have this takonas ha'gainim. But at the time of the Gemara, it was a machlokas. Can you automatically collect a ksuva from a suitcase, or you can only collect a ksuva from property? Okay? I mean, we have seen that's a magic suitcase, PK. I mean, you got a whole field in that suitcase. But that's not the kind of suitcase we're talking about. All right. Anyway, bottom line, do we have a raya from any brisa that a single aid is sufficient because of the power of a single aid to create a shvua by Momon, that a single aid is sufficient to create Kedushin? Bottom line is, Rav Kana says, absolutely not. Makes no difference. Rav Papa says, we are. So our bottom line is no further along a bottom line than our top line was. We still got a machlokas. Omarle Rav Ashi l'Rav Kahana, what do you mean, ein choshishen l'kedushin? Why not? Obviously, because you're learning out dover dover mimomon, correct? like we explained. Alpishne edim yakum davar, and kimat sabar vat davar. But isn't it true that if a person admits that he owes money, so then malahalan hodaat bal din kemei edim dami, in the same way, if you admit you owe money, then you owe money. And that we know from the pasuk, because the pasuk discusses a case in which one person claims X and another person says, no, I owe you Y. Ki hu zeh, that's the argument in court about a moda b'miktsas. And in such a case, he has to take a shvua. But he has to pay the other half of it because he admitted it. So you see, from there, the Torah holds. Hoda'at baldin kemeya edim dami, another Gavi idea. Hoda'at baldin kemeya edim dami. So over here, if they both agree, the man and the woman both agree that they are married, so why wouldn't we say that is the equivalent of a witness, right? Just like by money, it's the equivalent of a witness. Why is it not the equivalent of two witnesses? She says, yes, I'm married, and he says, yes, I'm married. Both of them are the Balei Dinim, so she should be considered married? Says Rav Kahana, no. The din of Mammon that you're believed is because you're being Mechayiv yourself, and that's the only thing that we learn from there about Kiyuze. Can you say something that will be Mechayiv anybody else, even as an ancillary result of believing you? No and no. And therefore, in this case, by definition, wherever people are talking about a Dvar Erva, it affects everyone. Any relative is going to be affected. Any other person who would sleep with her is going to be affected. So therefore, it's ridiculous. This is Kabachayev Lachrine and has nothing to do with any of the above. Now, a beautiful question is Benogea Mominus. We've been talking about the whole time Benogea Kedushin. What about Benogea Mominus? Are witnesses just there to be able to prove what happened because they saw it? Or are they part of the actual transaction, the same way that we have by Kedushin? That's the question. Now, Marzutra and Rav Ada Saba were two brothers. They were both children of Rav Mori Bar Iser. The father died, Rav Mori died, and they went and on their own, they made a chalukah of the estate. You take this, I'll take this, and so on. But they had no witnesses. So they came to Rav Ashi, and they asked Rav Ashi, the Torah says, Al pi shnei edim yakum davar. Okay, I understand that. But why does what is it saying that these witnesses are for? Are these witnesses only because yiboylum ed elo motzi hadri bahu? So the Torah is saying, well, if you've got two witnesses, then you can always fight off a guy who denies something in court, and that's the whole point. But we don't need witnesses. We are not liars, and we are not people who change our mind, and we believe our counterpart brother 100%, and we know that our brother would never lie. So, like our president used to say, aren't we talking about Jews over here? So why do we need witnesses? I don't need no witness, and he don't need no witness. Or maybe the Torah is saying you need witnesses in order to make something effective legally. Maybe that's the point. Things can only work when it's effectuated with witnesses exactly the way that Gittin is and exactly the way Kiddushin are. So what's the deal? Is it just for proof or is it for chalos? Said Rav Ashi, witnesses. The idea of witnesses are only needed in a world full of liars. And therefore, lo yivru sahade ele leshakure. Okay, so this would be a fascinating discussion, the differences between edus for kedushin and edus for anything else. Now, I know we're a little bit over time, but I just want to tell you that this is a very, believe it or not, an extremely nogea halacha. Because we find all the time children pretending to marry each other, and they go through these weddings. I've even got pictures of my own children doing this. They go through Kiddushin, and the question is, if they are old enough to effectuate Kiddushin, is there any chashash of Kiddushin? And are the bystanders considered to be Einim? And what if they made one person an Einim? And so on and so forth. These issues come up all the time. And there's sack halakas throughout all of the Torahs, down to last year's publication of court decisions in Eretz Yisrael. So here's the issue. The pashtus in this daf has been that the only one who says that you do have to be chayish for kedushin is Rav Papa, and Rav Yehuda said maybe, I don't know, I'm not sure. But every other psak said, absolutely not. If you don't have two eidim, there's nothing to be chayish for. And even Rav Papa, as Rav Meisha Bas points out in his tshuva, even Rav Papa didn't say that for sure it's kedushin. He said, I'm not sure. Chayishin lekedushin. So we don't have anybody saying that is a kedushin, right? So how to explain that? I mean, clearly, there's nothing to worry about, in which case, all through the Dairas, the psak was, we don't worry. Problem is that there's one shita, which is the shita of the Yoreim, who says that the halacha is like Rav Papa, and we're chayish. And, of course, the Ashkenazim will always paskin l'chumra, and therefore the Ramah paskins that we have to be chayish l'kedushin, which creates a tremendous amount of problems. Now, l'maisa, we only paskin that way in the case of shnehem modim. Okay. So then there's a question, the guy who was moded, do we have to be chayish l'kedushin, or is shnehem modim necessary for even one of them to be considered shavyan avshachatich d'isura? So the Ramah himself writes that if there's no way out of this, and there's no way to get a get, and it's going to end up with a woman never being able to marry, you're semech on the shitas that are mekel, and that is the minhag all over. That if there's a real problem, even the Ashkenazim are mekel. And as far as the halacha is concerned, as Rav Ovadia Yosef paskins, all the Sfardim don't even try to get a get, even if you can. That's the psak of Rav Ovadia Yosef, and they're not chayish at all. Now, there are other sub-issues about this thing. What if one of these witnesses is a korov, right? So in a case where the aid is pasul, there, even if you learn, like Rav Papa, and that Rav Papa was chayish l'kiddushin, since the whole basis of the kiddushin would be that aid would be able to be mechayev you a shvua in dine mominis, if this aid is not a kosher aid, he cannot be mechayev you a shvua in mominis either, which means that the only time, and this Rebbeinu points out and brings it as a raya in his shuvas in a number of different places, that if he's not an aid kosher for whatever reason, he's not a shomer mitzvah, but kallel Shabbos, he's a ganav, whatever, then for sure, we're not chayish l'kedushin, and the only time that we say that chayish l'kedushin is only where we have one witness, even according to the Ramah and the Sefer HaYireim, and if it would be an eid echad who isn't kosher, or if there would be no eidim for sure, ain chayish l'kedushin. All right, so that's a wrap-up of the various sugya, the paskin halachas over here in this sugya, and Bezrat Hashem will continue tomorrow into what the position is of a single aid, the one thing we haven't discussed at length, which is aid echad ne'eman be'isurin. So what kind of isurin are we talking about where an aid echad is ne'eman? What type of cases would be included in that to be discussed at length, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow? And may we be zocha to be together. Thank you. Wonderful.